As the boys rushed toward us, I threw the grenade among them, but the explosion was delayed. We leaped out from underneath the stoop where we had taken cover and charged into the open yard, where we began to fight. Some of us had bayonets, others didn't. A boy without a bayonet grabbed my neck from behind. He was squeezing for the kill, and I couldn't use my bayonet effectively, so I elbowed him with all my might until he let go of my neck. He was holding his stomach when I turned around. I stabbed him in his foot. The bayonet stuck, so I pulled it out with force. He fell, and I began kicking him in the face. As I went to deliver the final blow with my bayonet, someone came from behind me and sliced my hand with his knife. It was a rebel boy, and he was about to kick me down when he fell on his face. Al-Haji had stabbed him in the back. He pulled the knife out, and we continued kicking the boy until he stopped moving. I wasn't sure whether he was unconscious or dead. I didn't care. No one screamed or cried during the fight. After all, we had been doing such things for years and we're all still on drugs. The three MPs and the two nationals who had brought us to the center came running into the yard a few minutes into the fight. "Stop, stop," they yelled, pushed boys apart and carried the wounded to the side. It was a bad idea. We pounced on the MPs, pulled them to the ground and took their guns away from them. The army boys, we, got one. The rebel boys had the other. The other MP ran away before either group could catch him. Mambo had the gun, and before the rebel boy who had the other gun could switch the safety off, Mambo shot him. He fell, dropping the gun. Other rebel boys tried to grab it, but Mambo shot each one who attempted to. He killed a few and wounded some, but the rebel boys were persistent, and finally one of them got the gun and shot two boys on our side. The second boy who was shot at close range stabbed the rebel boy in the stomach before he fell. The rebel boy dropped the gun and fell to the ground as well. More MPs were running through the gate now toward the fight. We had fought for almost 20 minutes, stabbing and slicing each other and the men who tried to part us. The MPs fired a few rounds into the air to get us to stop, but we were still fighting, so they had to part us by force. They placed some of us at gunpoint and kicked others apart. 6 people were killed, 2 on our side and 4 on the rebel side, and several were wounded, including 2 of the men who had brought us. The military ambulances took off, wailing into the still newborn night with the dead and wounded. Their strobe lights made me dizzy. I had a little wound on my hand. I hid it because I didn't want to be taken to the hospital, and it was just a small cut. I washed the blood off, put some salt on it, and tied it with a cloth. During the fight, Mambo had blinded one boy by plucking out his eye with a bayonet. We later heard the boy was taken out of the country for surgery and that his eye was to be replaced by a cat's eye or something. Following the night of the fight, we praised Mambo for his lethal behavior. I would have liked him to be in my squad, I thought. As MPs stood guard to make sure we didn't start another fight, we the army boys went to the kitchen to look for food. We ate and chatted about the fight. Mambo told us that when he plucked the boy's eye out, the boy ran to punch him, but he couldn't see him, so he ran into the wall, banging his head hard, and fainted. We laughed and picked up Mambo, raising him in the air. We needed the violence to cheer us after a whole day of boring traveling and contemplation about why our superiors had let us go. The jubilation was stopped by a group of MPs who walked into the kitchen and asked us to follow them. They had their guns pointed at us, but we laughed at them and walked outside to where the military vehicles waited to transport us somewhere. We were so happy to have dealt with the rebel boys that we didn't think of attacking the MPs. Plus, there were too many of them. It seemed they had gotten the message that we were not children to play with. Some of the MPs stood by the vehicle holding their guns tightly and carefully eyeing us. "Maybe they are taking us back to the front," Al-Haji said. And for some reason, we all started singing the national anthem, marching to the vehicles. But we were not taken back to the front lines. Instead, they took us to Benin Home, another rehabilitation center in Kisi Town at the eastern outskirts of Freetown, away from the rest of the city. Benin Home had once been called Approved School and had been a government-run juvenile center. The MPs made sure to search us thoroughly before we entered. The blood of our victims and enemies was fresh on our arms and clothes. The lieutenant's words still echoed in my head. From now on, we kill any rebel we see, no prisoners. I smiled a bit, happy that we had taken care of the rebel boys. But I also began to wonder again, why had we been brought here? The MPs guarded us that night as we sat on the veranda of our halls, staring into the night. All I could think about was what was going to happen with my G3 weapon and what movie my squad was watching that night, what good marijuana and cocaine were at their disposal. "Hey, you fellows have any taffy, marijuana, for us?" Mambo asked the MPs, who ignored him. I was beginning to shake. The drugs from the previous nights, before we were brought to the city, had begun to subside in my system. I walked up and down on the veranda, restless, in my new environment. My head began to hurt.